Thanks.
Okay. We'll go on to our perchlorate cases. Mr. Briggs.
Okay, as has been the norm, we have provided a written update on all of our perchlorate sites, and we are relying on that written report in all respects. We do have, with an exception, we do have staff here available to answer any questions that you have about any of the perchlorate sites. We did want to provide an oral presentation this morning on the one of the issues within the Olin site write-up, and that has to do with the perchlorate to the northeast of the site. And so we have our two folks who have been working on this case, Hector Hernandez and Taya Tryon, who will be making this presentation. Hector will start, and then we'll go to Taya.
Good morning, Chairman Young, members of the board. My name is Hector Hernandez, project manager for the Olin site. My left is Taya Tryon. She's staff hydrogeologist and technical support for the project. This morning, as Mr. Briggs mentioned, we are going to provide a brief status update concerning recent developments associated with the Olin project. The staff report for this item provides an updated overview concerning the most significant activities pertaining to the Olin project. Staff is prepared to answer any specific questions and address any specific issues that are outlined in the staff report. However, this morning, as Mr. Briggs mentioned, we intend to focus our discussions on recent developments concerning the detection of perchlorate concentrations in the Nordstrom well, which is located northeast of the Olin site. In your supplemental package, you will find several items associated with this matter. Two of those items are copies of water board letters that were sent to the city of Morgan Hill within the last few days. These two items were sent by the water board to the city of Morgan Hill. In your package, you'll also find several other items that staff from city of Morgan Hill submitted as part of this matter. The first item up there, the May 2nd, 2006, we term it determination letter, was prepared in response to the city of Morgan Hill's request that the water board assign responsibility to Olin for the detection of perchlorate concentrations in the city's Nordstrom well. That same letter, the May 2nd letter, concludes that it is premature to assign responsibility to Olin for the perchlorate concentrations detected in the Nordstrom well. The second letter, dated May 9th, 2006, termed as a clarification letter, was prepared also in response to the city's request to provide clarification for the May 2nd letter. The May 9th letter, or clarification letter, clarifies that it is staff's position that Olin would be required to perform additional characterization work and monitoring immediately north and east of the Olin facility if it is deemed necessary and appropriate by water board staff. It is my understanding that the City of Morgan Hill staff intends to address the water board concerning this matter and has prepared a brief presentation. I believe Olin staff, Olin representatives are also available to answer any questions that the board may have. And with that said, Taya Tryon of our staff will give a brief presentation concerning staff's May 2nd determination letter. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Young, members of the board. My name is Taya Tryon. I'm a hydrogeologist, and I am technical support on the Olin project. And since I started on this project approximately 5 months ago, my primary focus has been to evaluate all the available data for the area northeast of the site. To orient you to the Olin site, I provided this figure. The Olin site is up here in this corner. City of Morgan Hill is in this area. City of Gilroy down here. The black line running through the middle of the figure is the 101 freeway. North is in this direction. And the open and closed circles plotted on this figure represent wells in this area. The area shaded in green represent Olin's interpretation of perchlorate between the concentrations of 4 and 5.9 micrograms per liter in groundwater. The shaded area in yellow represent Olin's interpretation from fourth quarter 2005 data of perchlorate in groundwater greater than 6 micrograms per liter. The perchlorate in groundwater extends southeast of the site to approximately a 10-mile-long plume. But in this presentation, we're going to focus in on the area northeast of the Olin site. This figure is a close-up of that area northeast of the site. The Olin site is right here, and the area outlined in red is termed the northeast study area. The blue triangles represent multi-level wells that were installed by Olin in 2005. These multi-level wells have depth-discrete screen intervals that are screened throughout the shallow, intermediate, and deep aquifers. Those four wells total 36 monitoring intervals total. Excuse me. The blue line here represents the Madrone Channel, which is a percolation pond that is managed by the Santa Clara Valley Water District. And then the red dots represent the City of Morgan Hill Municipal Supply Wells. The smaller circles, the open circles and the closed circles, represent private wells in the area northeast of the Olin site, or within this area. And the closed circles, the small blue circles, represent private wells that were sampled by Olin during the fourth quarter of 2005. A detailed evaluation of the geology and hydrogeology and perchlorate detections in this area was prompted by the City of Morgan Hill's request for staff to assign responsibility to Olin for the perchlorate detections in the Nordstrom well. The Nordstrom well is a supply well which is located approximately 7,000 feet. This is the Nordstrom well here. It's located approximately 7,000 feet or 1.3 miles northeast of the Olin site, and it was installed in the year 2000. Our May 2nd letter that is included in your supplemental package provides details of staff's evaluation regarding the detections of perchlorate in the Nordstrom well. And it presents our reasoning for our determination that it is premature at this time to assign responsibility to Olin for the detections in the Nordstrom well. Therefore, the May 2nd letter is specific to perchlorate detections in the Nordstrom well. The City of Morgan Hill misinterpreted the May 2nd letter to mean that staff would not require Olin to do any additional assessment of perchlorate detections immediately north and east of the Olin site. The City of Morgan Hill issued a letter to us on May 5th requesting clarification of our May 2nd letter. The City of Morgan Hill's consultants also issued a letter on May 8th in response to our May 2nd letter. We issued a clarification letter, which is also included in your supplemental package and dated May 9th. The clarification letter states our position that we will require further assessment by Olin of perchlorate detections immediately north and east of the Olin site, but we do not believe that further investigation of perchlorate detected in the Nordstrom well is required at this time. We are in general agreement with the City of Morgan Hill's consultant letter. The other potential perchlorate sources need additional investigation to determine if they are viable sources of perchlorate to groundwater. We also agree that the perchlorate detections start extending immediately east and north of the Olin site have not been delineated. We also recognize that there is a northerly component of flow in the deep aquifer in this area, and that Olin is a source of perchlorate to groundwater in the Yaga subbasin. We do not, however, agree that just because Olin is a documented source of perchlorate, and just because there is a northerly component of flow observed over the last three quarters in the multi-level wells in this area, and there are some trace detections of perchlorate in this area right here, monitored by the multi-level wells since the third quarter of 2005 by Olin. That means that the perchlorate detected at the Olin site is connected to the perchlorate detected in the Nordstrom well. As detailed...
Could you repeat that?
Right. We don't agree that just because perchlorate has been detected at trace concentrations by these three wells since the third quarter of 2005, and just because in this little area right here there has been a northerly component of flow in the deep aquifer, that there is a connection between the perchlorate detected here at the site and the perchlorate detected here at the Nordstrom well.
And can I ask you, what's the amount of perchlorate detected at the Nordstrom well?
I will get...
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's coming. When the Nordstrom well was first installed in 2000, perchlorate was detected at 7 micrograms per liter. This was the highest concentration of perchlorate detected in this well. Since June of 2005, perchlorate concentrations in the Nordstrom well are less than 4 micrograms per liter. The other municipal wells shown by the red dots on this figure have not had detections above 4 micrograms per liter, with the exception of some sporadic hits of perchlorate up to 5 micrograms per liter in the Condit well right here. Which is... And then obviously the Tennant Avenue well, which is located right here southwest of the site, has had concentrations of perchlorate. And the perchlorate concentrations in the Tennantwell Avenue were 5 micrograms per liter last month. None of the private domestic supply and agriculture wells sampled in the northeast area have had concentrations of perchlorate above 4 micrograms per liter to date. Some trace concentrations of perchlorate, which is less than 4 micrograms per liter, have been detected in the intermediate and deep aquifer wells. Perchlorate was detected above the public health goal of 6 micrograms per liter at one of the locations in the intermediate wells immediately east of the site in this multi-level well named MP4. Two other detections in one of the screened intervals in the intermediate aquifer were detected at MP1 and MP3 between the concentrations of 4 and 6 micrograms per liter. We are currently in the process of approving additional work that Olin has proposed to delineate detections of perchlorate immediately east and north of the site. This figure shows those proposed borings, and the Olin has already, and the City of Morgan Hill has already approved encroachment permits to install these borings. Until perchlorate detections are delineated north and east of the Olin site, we believe it is premature to assign Olin responsibility for cleanup of the perchlorate detections in the Nordstrom well. There are some anomalies in the perchlorate distribution data that suggest that there may not be a direct connection between perchlorate detected at the Olin facility and the perchlorate detected in the Nordstrom well. Additionally, other potential sources of perchlorate have been identified in the area near the Nordstrom well, and they need further investigation because at this point we are not sure whether those potential perchlorate sources are viable perchlorate sources to groundwater. Also, a groundwater cleanup level has not yet been established. Therefore, it is premature to know at this time whether cleanup of the perchlorate detected in the Nordstrom well, whether it's Olin or another source, will even be required. So what are our next steps? We will continue to work with Olin to monitor and delineate perchlorate concentrations immediately east and north of the site. We will continue our evaluation of other potential sources of perchlorate to determine if these sources are viable sources of perchlorate to groundwater. We are also looking forward to seeing the results of a forensic chemistry study that the Santa Clara Valley Water District will be conducting in the near future. The forensic study will hopefully provide valuable information on background perchlorate concentrations in the Yaga subbasin, and through advanced geochemical techniques, the study will possibly be able to identify the original source or sources of perchlorate detected throughout the Yaga subbasin. We will also review any new data that comes in that pertains to the area northeast of the Olin site. We are currently preparing comments for the May 29, 2006 characterization report, which provides detailed information on the entire Olin project. But a part of that characterization report details some information on other potential perchlorate sources, and it also proposes the soil boring locations as I showed in the previous figure. We're also in need to review the May 1st, 2006 first quarter groundwater monitoring report. And Olin will submit a cleanup level feasibility study on June 30th, 2006. And once a groundwater cleanup level has been established, staff will be able to evaluate what amount of cleanup is required in the area northeast of the site. Therefore, we will continue working on detections northeast of the Olin site, but from now on, we would like to focus our staff time on the area southeast of the Olin site, the 10-mile-long plume, and the people that live above this plume. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I do. If you could go back to one of the that one, that would be fine. So it's my recollection that staff has determined that there's a northeast flow component to the groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that would be then the justification for concluding that well MP/PZ3 is impacted by the Olin side. Okay. So how far, where are you drawing the line in terms of where that impact goes? I mean, how far does it go in the northeast direction? You're concluding right now it doesn't go to the Nordstrom well.
Well, what we're saying is that from the data that's available, okay, we don't know if it goes from here to there.
Okay. From the data that's available, how far does it go, in your opinion?
I think it requires further delineation.
Okay.
And the reason for that is there is some interesting information here. The perchlorate detected here is around up to 130 micrograms per liter, but mostly around 14 parts per billion or micrograms per liter. Concentrations detected here are less than 4. Concentrations are less than 4. And what's interesting is that nitrate concentrations in this area are around 33 milligrams per liter. And I know that nitrate has a bunch of different sources. There's agricultural sources, there's the strontium nitrate that was included in the flares. It was actually, the flares were 70% strontium nitrate. So there are sources, different sources of nitrate. But what's interesting is that the nitrate concentrations are around 33 milligrams per liter here. They're around 15 to 20 milligrams per liter here with trace concentrations of perchlorate. And there's also the same trace concentrations of perchlorate in this well, but there's no nitrate. So if there is a path from here to there, you would think that if the nitrate and the perchlorate have similar physical chemical properties, that a dilution of perchlorate and nitrate would be on the same level.
Well, but that's the question. Do they have similar chemical properties?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Physiochemical properties. So, and then some of the other anomalies are this Dunn well here is screened in a similar interval as the Nordstrom well, but perchlorate has never been detected above 4 micrograms per liter in this well. And this well, when this well pumps, you would think that the capture zone would be in this general area, so any perchlorate that's coming through from here should somewhat be captured in this well. And when the Nordstrom well was first installed, there was a spike, or not a spike, but a concentration of 7 microgram per liter of perchlorate, but it was never detected here. So that's an anomaly. Also, there's perchlorate concentrations detected in the intermediate aquifer. The intermediate and the deep aquifer have been shown to have a good separation with an aquitard in the middle. So the fact that there are perchlorate concentrations in the intermediate aquifer past the Nordstrom well is an anomaly or a puzzling, because if perchlorate is all coming from the Olin site, why are we not detecting perchlorate in the intermediate zone in this area, but we are in this area up here.
Well, what's the history of the wells that run down the, well, let's see, from Condo at San Pedro, Dunn 1 and 2, and then, or Diana?
In terms of when did they were, three,
yeah,
when they were
timing,
installed?
Yeah, because Nordstrom is relatively new.
Nordstrom was installed in 2000.
And what about the others that I just
the
mentioned?
The Dunwell was installed.
While you're looking for that, the wasn't the San Pedro a new well?
Yeah, the San Pedro, it was, can you look to see when, the Dunn well was installed way before the Nordstrom well was installed. I just don't remember the date off the top of my head. The San Pedro well here was installed after the Nordstrom well. Mm. And it is only paid for the installation of this well to replace the tenant well.
And so how many samples do we have from the Nordstrom well?
We have almost biweekly data since December 4th, 2000 for the Nordstrom
and
well.
And do you have a graph of that? What does that data look like? Are the levels going down, remaining constant?
Right. I have a figure of it, but it doesn't really show anything. The Nordstrom well had in 2000 had a concentration of 7. Then by June 2005, it was down to 4. And currently, it's down to 2 ppb. Mm. So there is it is going down. It's not going back up.
Mm. And is it drawing at a depth that's consistent with or different than the depths for the MP sites further to the southwest?
Right. The Nordstrom well has long screens like most municipal supply wells, and they're screened throughout the intermediate and the deep aquifer. And
okay.
Same with the Dunn well. These MP wells have small screens throughout the shallow, intermediate, and deep aquifer. So you'll have a couple of screen intervals in the upper and middle deep aquifer, and then you have some additional wells screened in the intermediate aquifer, and they're all separate from each other. And that's why it's we only have the fact that there is a northerly component of flow is only we have that information available to us because these wells were installed. Because all these municipal supply wells are screened through different zones, so it's hard to evaluate which way groundwater is flowing. And additionally, when these there's a very dynamic flow field in this area because these wells are pumped and it dramatically affects some of the water levels in some of these wells. So the fact that the Nordstrom well pumps and all these other wells, it does influence which way the groundwater flows at a given time.
And is that the cause for the northeast flow?
I think it is.
I mean,
it's hard to say because we never had a situation where we're monitoring groundwater levels when all the wells are shut off. I have if you want to see a, sorry.
Subliminal presentation.
This is a map or a figure that was provided in the fourth quarter 2005 groundwater monitoring report by Olin. And this shows their interpreted groundwater flow direction, which is actually in this northerly direction, from the data that's available from these wells. So, and that's at one point in time.
Any other questions?
Should be more to the west, correct?
Well, I say northerly component of flow. I mean, north is this way, so northwest. But it will change. It changes depending on which well is pumping. During this sampling event, Nordstrom well wasn't pumping.
Okay.
Response to your question about the installation dates for these water supply wells. We don't have that information readily available, but the City of Morgan Hill staff is available, and they may remember the actual dates if you're still interested.
Well, Mr. Tweez.
Yes.
T-E-W-E-S is here to speak, so. And he asked for some additional time, which I granted before the meeting.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Ed Tweez. I'm the city manager of the City of Morgan Hill, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning and have some additional time to share with you Morgan Hill's perspective. I have a decidedly low-tech presentation. I don't have slides, but in light of the presentation that you've heard, we would appreciate the chance to provide comments to you and your staff regarding some of the material that you've heard and responses to the questions. One factual response I can give you right now is Done Well was developed in the 70s and Done Two in 1997. They're pretty much adjacent to each other. I first spoke to this board in September 2003 in Salinas, which was about 3 years after the first discovery of perchlorate in the Yagas sub-basin. At the time, I told you of the impacts on three of our municipal wells, one south of the Olin site and two north and east. I told you at the time that Olin's own data at the time showed a northeasterly flow of perchlorate from the site, and I asked you to order Olin to clean up the groundwater basin from which the City of Morgan Hill draws its domestic water supply. Now, nearly 3 years later, on behalf of the 37,000 residents of Morgan Hill, I'm here to ask again for action. Our interest in cleaning up the basin is not merely hypothetical. We share with you concerns about protection of the environment and the public's groundwater supply, but frankly, we have been motivated by a very here and now need for water production. To meet our fire flow requirements and peak demand, we must continue to pump from this contaminated groundwater basin. It's our only source of supply, and we must treat that groundwater to remove perchlorate. In fact, the ratepayers of Morgan Hill have already spent nearly $1 million cleaning up perchlorate. Since July 2003, Morgan Hill has removed perchlorate from more than twice as much contaminated groundwater as has the responsible party, Olin. We can't afford to sit back and wait while every theoretical potential source is pursued. The flare manufacturing facility in Morgan Hill used 150,000 pounds of potassium perchlorate each and every year for decades. Why is this elephant in the room being ignored? Now, we do understand why it's in Olin's interest to delay. They, after all, have a responsibility to their shareholders and creditors. But this board and the elected officials of the City of Morgan Hill have a responsibility to the public we serve. And the need is right now. Delay is not in the public's interest. About a year ago, the board issued a cleanup and abatement order to Olin for the portion of the basin south of Tennant Avenue. To many of us, that seemed arbitrary at the time, and we certainly expressed our concerns. The board did issue, and you've heard some of the results from, a series of orders to Olin to explore the northeast plume. But you had not issued and have not yet issued a cleanup and abatement order that requires Olin to delineate the plume and to clean it up to levels we would argue must be a level of background to the extent technically and feasibly possible. The key difference between the situation on the south side of the street and the north side of the street appears to us to be that Olin has vigorously resisted taking responsibility for the north side of the street. Otherwise, the situations appear to us to be very much the same. First, Olin argued that the groundwater flow from the site could not have traveled north. Then they found that, indeed, there is, quote, hydraulic communication between the site and points well north of the site, north and east. They argued that the contamination could not have moved to the deep aquifer from which we draw our domestic water supplies. Then they found contamination in the deep aquifer 3,000 feet north of their site. And as your question suggests, how far north, not yet determined. Then they speculated, well, if there is perchlorate in the basin north of Tennant, it must have come from some other source. Without providing any evidence of sufficient mass or a pathway to support an alternative theory. So where does that leave us? We in Morgan Hill do not believe that the board has to disprove each and every alternative theory put forth by Olin in order to conclude that there is reasonable evidence to declare Olin the responsible party. We assert that the board has sufficient, substantial evidence on the record already at hand to require you to act affirmatively to name Olin as the responsible party. As you know, the law allows responsible parties, once so designated, to continue looking for alternative polluters and to seek to spread the financial risk and responsibility, and Olin would be free to do so if you issued such an order. We have been advised that the board cannot retroactively order a responsible party to reimburse for cleanup costs incurred by others. Therefore, every passing day is a day that imposes the cost of cleanup on the ratepayers of Morgan Hill rather than on Olin. Now, we realize that we could recover costs through litigation, but that would be a waste of scarce resources that should be applied to solutions and not lawsuits. And more important, it should not be necessary when the state law gives you the responsibility to require cleanup by responsible parties. Morgan Hill would much prefer to work with Olin to clean up the basin rather than to fight in court. Please help us. My request to you today is simple, I hope. Please draft an amendment to the cleanup and abatement order to include the portion of the basin north of Tennant Avenue. Alternatively, if you must, I invite the board to hold a public hearing in Morgan Hill on the reasonableness of the evidence amassed so far, and then make the necessary and appropriate findings declaring Olin the responsible party for the contamination of the groundwater basin on which our community relies. I thank you for your time.
We may have some questions for you, Mr. Tweez. Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah. Is the city currently paying for cleanup in the area north of the site?
Yes. And when I said we had spent nearly $1 million cleaning up perchlorate from the contaminated groundwater, that consists of two ion exchange treatment plants, one on the Tennant Avenue site. Uh-huh. So we're already cleaning up south of Tennant Avenue, right. And the Nordstrom Park well as well has ion exchange. And okay. The city has cleaned up, I had the number, 894 MG. Olin, according to its reports, 427.
How much money have you spent on cleaning up wells, well water to the northeast?
Of that total, of the nearly $1 million, probably half of it is in the northeast.
Are there any?
And I have counted just the cost of the cleanup, not the cost of the various technical reports and other matters that we've had to engage in.
Is the city aware of any other credible sources of perchlorate that would be to the northeast that could be impacting that well?
We are not, although I have told you that we do not believe you need to disprove each and every alternative theory. We have provided in the past and as recently as this week continue to provide data and information to your staff that addresses those speculative theories, shooting them down.
Okay.
And you're saying that if you're putting money like into the Nordstrom well for cleanup, and Olin isn't under a cleanup or abatement order, that you can't recoup that money?
I have been advised, perhaps your legal counsel could weigh in as well, that it is not possible for your board to issue a retroactive order.
Our
point, that as soon as you declare them a responsible party, from that point on, costs are recoverable.
Okay, but you could recover it through other means.
We could file litigation.
Like litigation.
But
okay.
That is not a desirable course,
sure.
And not a necessary course.
Let me ask you this. Given the, what do we have now, an action level? Is it 6 parts per billion?
Yes, public health goal.
Public health goal. It's 6?
Yes.
So how much of this contamination is at that level or above it?
Olin's recent data suggested that the deep aquifer of 3,000 feet had 4 parts per billion, micrograms per liter.
Right.
I'm sorry, I told you it was a low-tech presentation. But we don't know what the levels were over the previous 50 years during which Olin was operating. I should say, I don't know whether this gets to your question, Chairman Young. I was a little concerned to hear the concern about a groundwater basin cleanup level has not been established. You are aware that Olin, in a previous report, had recommended that that level be 11 parts per billion. Your staff said, well, wait a minute, we haven't set it yet. Nonetheless, we believe it's very clear. The basin did not have Olin's perchlorate in it until 50 years ago, and Olin has to take that out. So they have to bring it back to background, whatever it was. If under a cleanup abatement order they discover what the background levels are, that's fine. That will help you establish what the cleanup is. But we can't get there under the current approach. It's important that you adopt the cleanup abatement order.
I think we've had this discussion before about the, you know, the main plume and how far we could go with ordering that cleaned up, you know, to what levels. And I recall some discussion about, you know, background was obviously 0. And could we order a cleanup to the historic background level? Can you?
Right, and I think some of the confusion is that the jurisdiction to order replacement water is triggered by a different level than the cleanup levels. The replacement water jurisdiction at this time is the action level of 6 parts per billion. The cleanup level, the default cleanup level, is background, and unless it's demonstrated that there's some natural background, that would be non-detect in this case. If the discharger demonstrates that it's either technically or economically infeasible to achieve background, then a higher cleanup level is appropriate. That determination and that analysis has not been completed yet. One of the things that you take into account in considering technical and economic feasibility are the public health risks. It's not the only factor, but it's one factor. So if it costs $10 million to get within the public health goal, then that may be economically feasible. But if it costs $10 million to go from 1 part per billion to non-detect, that's probably not economically feasible. But none of that analysis is complete. I also would like to address Mr. Tweez, a couple of his comments. And I have a question, actually. When you say that the city spent $1 million for cleanup, are you just talking about wellhead treatment to treat water that you're serving, or has there been any actual groundwater cleanup?
We are pumping groundwater from the deep aquifer that has been contaminated by Olin, and we are pumping it from the groundwater and cleaning it and serving it to our customers.
Okay.
And by the way, if there was any confusion earlier, I apologize for it. Our request in 2003 and subsequently and today is that you issue an order to Olin to clean up the basin. We're not talking about an alternative water order.
Okay. And then in terms of wellhead treatment, it does provide some cleanup, and staff obviously can address that better than I can, but it's also a method of providing replacement water. And because the levels are below 6 parts per billion, that type of wellhead treatment wouldn't be something that we could order Olin to do unless it was for the purposes of cleanup. But again, as staff has indicated, we're not at that point. Regarding the retroactiveness of an order, it's correct that we don't have any jurisdiction to order one responsible party to repay cleanup costs that were incurred by someone else. But that's the case even if we were to make some sort of determination now that Olin was responsible. There's no provision for us to make determinations of liability except by issuing cleanup orders, and staff can address whether this is an appropriate point in time to issue a cleanup order for Olin to incur any costs for wellhead treatment or cleanup or anything else. But if we were to make some sort of a determination that, in our opinion, Olin's a responsible party, all that is an opinion, and it doesn't mean that from that point forward Olin has to repay Morgan Hill's cleanup costs. It just may mean that Olin has to incur some costs that Morgan Hill might otherwise be incurring. But if Morgan Hill is going to continue to provide wellhead treatment that's separate from anything we may require, that doesn't mean that Olin has to reimburse that. So basically a determination of who's a responsible party, legally it's meaningless until we issue an order.
Certainly agree with that. That's why we've asked for the order.
Okay. Well, I have some thoughts on where we could go with this, but I'd like to hear from the rest of the board before I throw them out. Dr. Hunter, any thoughts? Okay. Any of my colleagues down at the bottom, the far side?
Other than making a mess over here, which I guess we have a mess up there as well. The plume is spreading to the north here.
Yeah,
going south as well.
But it's within the public health goal, Mr. Jeffrey,
yeah,
so you're okay.
True. I believe, and I've always thought, that this is a very serious situation in that particular area. And I think this board needs to take whatever action as soon as possible to resolve that. And we can sit here and speculate and sit back and wait as the contamination continues to move and also gets into the cleanup and abatement is here. I think that, Mr. Chair, that whatever this board has as tools to make this happen as soon as possible would be my thoughts and my suggestion the way we go. And I would leave that up to our board counsel to legally, with the staff's input, give us that direction that we can expedite whatever we need to expedite as quickly as possible. And I'll continue to clean up my discharge here.
Mr. Hayashi or Dr. Bowker, any thoughts you want to throw into the hat?
I would concur. I think we have to move forward somehow. And I guess, what is staff's game plan in the long run? I mean, we've gathered data. What are we trying to do? I mean, I don't see why we haven't been more proactive, I guess.
Maybe you go back to that concluding slide.
This one? Well, we have been active in looking at the water data. The first set of data that we obtained was during the third quarter of 2005. And the concentrations are below 4 micrograms per liter. Those concentrations, the three detections that were detected that were above 4 micrograms per liter, we will ask Olin to investigate those or delineate those further. However, we would like to treat the northeast area similar to the southeast area, and since the concentrations are not above 4, in this area, and they're at 2 parts per billion in the Nordstrom well.
Okay. So fundamentally the issue is the levels aren't high enough.
Correct.
Okay. That clarifies what I wanted to know.
And then we kind of get into the discussion of, well, can we order a generalized cleanup to background levels?
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
And we are waiting for that. And so until a cleanup level is established, we cannot evaluate at this time where the cleanup would be.
I think we're mixing up two things. The investigation needs to be completed and the source needs to be determined before anybody's ordered to clean up anything. So we're putting the cart before the horse a little bit, but I think Mr. Gobler is going to address that. But to the extent that there's any impression that this investigation phase isn't going forward, that's not correct. Olin is doing the investigation in the area nearer to the site, and there is forensic investigation going on farther out. So if there's any impression that nothing's happening, that's not correct.
I completely agree with that. And in fact, for clarification, the feasibility study for cleanup is due June 30th. We anticipate that feasibility study will propose the establishment of a cleanup level based on background first, and using financial feasibility and to justify whatever number they propose.
Now, is that for the entire
Yagas,
south and north?
For the entire Yagas basin.
And who's doing the feasibility study?
Olin. In addition to the cleanup feasibility study, they are also in the process of proposing a plume control measures, implementation of control measures for keeping the plume from moving further down gradient from the site.
Okay, well, I may not understand this exactly right, but it seems to me that we've proved that Olin is responsible for at least the perchlorate south of the site. So why don't we just, and you can tell me why don't we just have a hearing to see if we want to require Olin to clean up to background level and let Olin tell us why they can't? Why do we have to wait for Olin?
Because that's part of the process. The cleanup is being implemented in accordance with State Board Resolution 9249, which requires cleanup to background unless the discharger can demonstrate through a feasibility analysis that something higher is appropriate.
So we're waiting
that's where
for
we're
the
at.
Feasibility study
exactly.
So that we can say cleanup to background.
Which is part of the cleanup order.
Why.
Yeah.
And that is part of the cleanup. And as far as any additional work that's being done or proposed north and northeast of the facility, Olin is proceeding with that, and we don't believe that at this time it's necessary to issue another order to require that specifically, because they are going forth with that.
With what?
With
additional work, those CPT borings, additional characterization work northeast of the site. So unless we get to a point where we don't think that they are doing what they're supposed to in that area or addressing those issues appropriately.
Let me share with you kind of my concern. I get the sense that we're getting lost in the trees with this. And the trees meaning, we're going to poke holes, ad nauseum, and we're kind of missing the big picture here. And if there aren't any other credible sources that could be impacting the wells to the northeast, I think we're spinning our wheels, and we're going to continue to get kind of incomplete information, spotty hits at different places in the aquifer, variable levels of contamination. I would like to see the evidence and the arguments with respect to whether the northeast contamination has been caused by Olin. I think that needs to be kind of vetted. I'm concerned that the public in Morgan Hill is shouldering the burden of cleaning this up right now. Because if it is Olin's fault for that, I think that's unfair. I don't think that those ratepayers should have to incur that expense. And so I don't want us to get lost with, undue science and technical studies, when I think the big picture, if I was to sit back and look at this and think, okay, we're pretty sure that, the contamination goes up to that furthest MP well, but we just can't at this point go across and make that jump in causation because we're missing some data points. I think we're missing the bigger picture here. So that's why I'd like to see the argument as to what else could be causing that contamination and kind of weigh that out. So I'm interested in what the board can do, Ms. Okun, to kind of get that pushed forward.
I'm not sure I really understand where you're going with that. If the board's going to issue a cleanup order, then the board has the burden of proving that Olin's the source. And if what you want to do is have a hearing to consider these issues, we can notice a hearing. But at this point, the investigation is going forward. And if it's an issue of paying for wellhead treatment, the board doesn't have the jurisdiction to order Olin to pay for that because the levels are below 6 parts per billion.
Okay. Well, then maybe we need to, let's see. So June 30th is the feasibility study for the overall groundwater basin.
Yes.
So perhaps we need to wait for that to come in.
Well, and
then
we
can get
to
into some kind of overall hearing as to what to do about that.
Yes.
Well, we don't necessarily have to have a hearing if there's no dispute. I mean, normally we don't have hearings on what the cleanup level is going to be. And if either Olin or the public or Morgan Hill are dissatisfied with staff's conclusions about an appropriate cleanup level, then we could set it for a hearing.
Okay. It all depends on what that report says and what they propose and how complete it is.
Who is reviewing the report? Is it just staff?
Yes. The city of Morgan Hill has consultants that review the report and provide comments to us. Santa Clara Valley Water District does the same. The PCAG, a public with the Morgan Hill perchlorate group, also reviews the report. They don't necessarily always submit comments, but we attend those meetings on a regular basis and we address concerns at those meetings.
Chairman Young, if I could just make a comment.
Sure.
Just a little bit of historic perspective here so it doesn't get lost. The board did issue a cleanup and abatement order directing Olin to basically to clean up the groundwater basin, but it was in a stepwise fashion. So it identified various investigative aspects that need to be occurred in sequence. And this the basin-wide characterization investigation that is ongoing and the cleanup level report that is coming in June, those are all part of the cleanup and abatement order that the board has issued to Olin. That does need to be carried out. I think the question is, what is the appropriate timing to address this issue? We're in agreement with Morgan Hill and the people of the basin that cleanup is going to be needed. The exact area that it's going to be needed is going to depend on the cleanup level that we establish. So I believe that it is appropriate not to go willy-nilly here, but to base the decisions that we make on cleanup, at least initially, on the review of the report that Olin is going to present. Then we will have a public hearing, if that's appropriate, and establish the cleanup level.
Eric, have you reviewed the City of Morgan Hill's letter where they address the potential sources to the northeast? Mr. Tweez has said that he's given information to staff addressing the credibility of any northeast sources of perchlorate.
Right. And we agree with the City of Morgan Hill that there are potential sources of perchlorate, but we haven't done enough investigation to identify whether they are actually adding perchlorate to the groundwater. I think there's reasonable evidence that there is perchlorate in wastewater, for example, at food processing facilities that we've actually collected, but we don't at this time have information on first encounter groundwater to rule it out completely as being a potential source, and that's what we would like to do.
Well, it sounded like the City of Morgan Hill's letter was discrediting those sources as being
the letter, the city. Are you speaking about the recent letter that was submitted in the package? To
whatever Mr. Tweez was just
referring
to.
One of the letters that I believe is in your package has to do with disinfection of water supply wells with bleach, and so that specific to that particular potential source. The other one that I'm not sure whether it's in your package or not has to do with the use of fertilizers in the area northeast of the facility. But it doesn't specifically address it doesn't talk about other potential sources that we've identified, such as food processing facilities, a site that's directly north of the site. There were some historical discharges to the a reservoir, or was it Lake Anderson, up north of the site. We don't know enough about that to know whether some of that may have contributed to the groundwater impacts in the past through the pumping of water from that lake to some of the ponds near the site. And there are just a lot of questions still that we have not been able to answer. I mean, the easiest thing to do for us to do would be to say, yes, it's Olin. That would be a very easy, that would be the easiest thing that we could do as staff. I mean, it would keep us from spending all this time reviewing all this information, and it's just so much information, and we just could not come to that conclusion.
Okay, well, let me ask you a few questions. It sounds like I'm hearing that these other potential sources may have a byproduct of perchlorate that's more incidental to what they were doing, and not truly like an industrial manufacturing type facility using perchlorate like Olin was. Is that pretty fair? That there isn't another Olin type user historically in the northeast part of this groundwater basin?
Okay, let me put it this way. There's a facility that's near Nordstrom Park Well, and we just recently discovered that in their wastewater they have 17 parts per billion perchlorate because they use bleach to disinfect their facility. And bleach, which is a study by the Department of Massachusetts and the DTSC that has shown that there is perchlorate up to 8,000 micrograms per liter in bleach. So we went out, and this facility is the only one that's near Nordstrom Park Well. So we thought it was reasonable for us to rule out other potential sources. But I don't think at this time, just because there is concentrations in wastewater and surface water in this pond at 17 parts per billion, that we can just rule it out and say, no, it's not a contributing source of perchlorate to groundwater without doing further investigation.
Okay.
Also, Mr. Chairman, also there is another so-called perchlorate site to the north. That's the site on the Anderson
United
Reservoir
Technologies
that you mentioned,
which has had detections of perchlorate up to 1 million parts per billion. And we don't have any information further on that site, if it is at all possible that in the past perchlorate from that facility went into Lake Anderson. Lake Anderson from 1975 to 1987 took water from Lake Anderson and put it in the Madrone Channel and in the Main Avenue ponds. If it's possible that perchlorate from the past had infiltrated the aquifer.
Madrone Channel is the blue?
The blue line, yeah.
Line on that.
Right, is here. The water district investigating that as part of the forensic investigation,
right,
or is someone investigating that?
And that's why it's really going to be valuable information to get information from the forensic chemistry study, because even if we poke more holes up in here, it really is not going to be able to be definitive in terms of showing exactly what the trend is from the past. And that's why we think the forensic chemistry study is really the only way at these concentrations that we're seeing up here to really determine if the original source is Olin or not. Through forensics, and I really think that's the only, or it's the best way to evaluate that. And that information should be available by the summer of 07. Mm-hmm. And since the concentrations are low in the Nordstrom Well at 2 parts per billion, and really there is no requirement by the DHS for the city of Morgan Hill to treat the water below 6, or even for that matter below 60, I think it's a great thing they're doing that for the public, but I think at this point we would rather focus all our attention on those folks that are drinking water above 6 southeast of the plume. I mean, I've spent 5 months on this site on the northeast issue. I want to get into the southeast.
Well, you're just getting your feet wet.
Right.
We have issues on this board that go on for decades.
I know. It's a very, very complex project.
This won't be one.
Of course not.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah. I think the point you just brought up is well taken, and that's what's mostly concerning me. What I don't want to see happen is movement on the issues southeast of the site or south of the site be held up because we're waiting for information on the northeast issue. I think the southeast issues need to be dealt with as soon as we can. I mean, if we need this feasibility study, fine. But I don't want to, you know, get the feasibility study and say, well, we still need information on the northeast. I don't think we need to take it as one whole. I think we need to move as quickly as possible on the southeast issues because we have the information. We just need to go with it. The northeast may take a little longer. I understand that we, you know, more investigation, but I don't want to, you know, hold up the southeast actions because of that. So hopefully that can be separated out. And I'm talking about groundwater cleanup specifically.
I'm trying, maybe you can help clarify for me, the wellhead treatment that the city of Morgan Hill is conducting right now, you just mentioned, is treating water that doesn't measure 6 parts per billion. It's below. Do you know what levels they're treating, and where are those wells relative to the north and south areas that we're talking about right now?
Can you repeat that?
Where are the public supply wells where wellhead treatment is being conducted by the city of Morgan Hill?
It's just this Nordstrom well here and the Tennant Avenue well. And the Nordstrom well right now is reading at a concentration of 2 parts per billion.
Right, that's what you said. And Tennant?
Tennant is right now is at 5 parts per billion. So after treatment, it's less than 2 parts per billion.
Okay.
And the report...
Is the Tennant well in the area that is considered part of the South Plume?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and the analytical detection method being used reports non-detect any concentration above 4 parts per billion. So anything below 4 would be reported as non-detect.
I was hoping, Eric, you could address something that
sure.
we discussed that may help the board in terms of the whole cleanup, and even assuming Olin is the source of this, given where we are in the cleanup, even if we weren't waiting for the forensic investigation, whether staff would be ordering Olin to clean anything up in the northeast area right now?
The problem that we have is there's not a cleanup level. So without a cleanup level, we don't really know what we would direct Olin to do or to not to do. If background was the cleanup level, and we believed that the perchlorate in the Nordstrom well or any area north or south of the site was Olin's responsibility, we would be directing them to clean up all of those areas. But since we don't have a cleanup level, it's really difficult to direct the cleanup. It certainly is below the public health goal to the north. In the northeast area and in the Nordstrom well. The levels to the south, however, as Mr. Shellcross was saying, we know that there are concentrations in the south that are above the public health goal, and that needs to be, cleanup needs to be directed in that area. And the recent letter that we sent to Olin on the plume identification or plume characterization report encouraged Olin and Morgan Hill to work together. I think we need a partner, all of us, Morgan Hill, Olin, Water District, Regional Board. We need a partner in cleaning up, coming up with a plan to clean up in the area where we know cleanup is needed. So that is underway. That's part of the ongoing characterization. I'm not sure I'm really answering the question, because without a cleanup level, it's really difficult to say what we would do to the northeast.
Let me ask you this. Do we have experience in this region where we've had perchlorate contamination in groundwater that came from these other incidental sources, you know, like chlorinated wastewater or fertilizer use? Do we have any evidence that type of usage of perchlorate has been sufficient to get into groundwater down below?
I don't think we do.
Not in the Yaga sub-basin. Massachusetts has done some work to show that bleach has impacted public supply wells.
Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
The state of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere else in California?
Mm-mm. This is pretty recent information.
Okay.
And as I said, the forensic chemistry is probably going to be the only or the best way to really identify what the sources of the perchlorate are at low concentrations.
If I had one request, it would be careful not to direct our limited staff in the wrong way. You know, we really need to focus on the area where we know the contamination is the greatest, where it's impacting people and water that's being used. We're going to tie in with that anything that we feel or that we believe Olin is responsible for to the northeast. But if you could consider in any decision you make not diverting the staff in the wrong way, we'd really appreciate that.
Eric, I think they are so capable and so qualified and so confident that they can do anything.
They need a little bit of sleep, though.
just to add a little bit to that and specifically address Lori's question, at this time, staff would not recommend any additional work other than what's already being proposed and what is being conducted immediately north and east of the site.
Okay.
You know, and all those decisions would also, you know, could change depending on whatever new data comes.
Does that mean in July would staff have had an opportunity to review the June 30? No.
We get the report June
July
30.
1st.
maybe the September.
Oh, yeah, because it's a July 7th board meeting,
right.
I think. Okay.
So
well,
yeah,
then
the report's due June 30th, so, you know, we need several weeks to.
Okay. Then our next board, we don't have one in August, do we?
In September.
September. Probably.
And additionally, those are not just the only report that's coming in.
Yeah.
We have other reports that come in.
Right. Well, when we do, if we can target then September, at least, for staff's, you know, report to the board on that.
Do you think it's feasible to have a cleanup level by the September meeting?
I think we would like to have time to meet with the public and have some discussions with Morgan Hill and Olin as well before.
Well, sure. But that gives you July, August, 2.5 months.
2 months.
Well, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Laurie, I believe the board will be the ones establishing the cleanup level. Olin will propose a number, as staff will recommend either approving it or not. But I think, I don't know whether we can do that administratively or through the board.
If it's not disputed, then the executive officer can issue a cleanup and abatement order establishing a cleanup level. If it is disputed, which seems pretty likely in this case, then the executive officer could still issue the cleanup and abatement order based on the staff recommendation, and they could take it directly to the state board. But because it's a matter before this board, a better way to go would be to put the cleanup and abatement order on an agenda and hold a public hearing to set that level.
Okay.
And to do that, then we need an adequate time to put the agenda materials together so that they can go out for public review. September is really close as far as time-wise, but we can start there.
Yeah, but it's in Santa Barbara.
Have we decided when the next North board meeting will be? Or is that on the...
It's supposed to be September, I think.
Yeah, it's looking like September.
Well, let's try to shoot for September. Okay. If it can't be done, it can't be done. Mm-hmm. No, but let's try to work towards that end. And I would also appreciate seeing staff's prioritization of these potential secondary sources or other primary sources of perchlorate. I would just like to know, you know, what's in that world. You know, generalized agricultural use, chlorine users, you know, and just, I mean, how many are we talking about? Where are they? What staff has done or will do to either, show that these are, you know, truly potential sources or not.
We certainly could do that in July.
Are we talking about ponds, wastewater ponds that are lined with plastic or a thick clay liner? What's that?
Not all of our liners.
There are some that have overflow ponds that are not lined.
Okay.
You know, Mr. Chairman, one of the things we want to do was not start coming up with names of facilities and creating undue alarm when we don't have all the information. We didn't think that would be a fair thing to do.
Mr. Chairman.
I was going to just add to that Mr. Briggs is right. The farming community is very sensitive about those issues, and we've already had we had a very interesting meeting with the Farm Bureau and several farmers a couple weeks ago, and we definitely need to be careful and come up with a good plan on how to do that.
Well, okay, I can appreciate that, but I would like to know if it's a generalized use of perchlorate that's kind of scattered and diffuse, that means something to me, as opposed to someone who's using the product and has been discharging wastewater into the ground that has perchlorate in it. I just want to see your tiering of these potential sources. You can, you don't have to be specific with names, but just something kind of more vague as to identifying these sites.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Down at this end, way down here at this end. I cleaned up my spill, so. Don't we have representatives from Olin here today?
Yes.
We do.
Yes, we do.
I thought that I saw them sitting in the bank. Are they here too?
Mr. Jeffries, if you have questions of. We could ask them to come forward. Mr. Briggs, do you want to introduce them?
Mr. Hayashi had a question why the gentleman's coming up.
This is Kurt Richards from Olin Corporation.
Good morning, Mr. Richards.
Morning.
Morning.
My name is Kurt Richards. I represent Olin Corporation.
Okay. Mr. Jeffries, did you have any questions?
Well, I'm sure you've been sitting there and listening to all this very interesting information, and I'd just like to hear what you have to say and what avenue is Olin taking information that the staff didn't give us or some other information that you might have.
That's an extremely leading question, but I'll try to answer it without going too much out of the bounds. Olin Corporation has spent over $1 million doing this investigation to the northeast. As you're well aware, we did originally appeal the order to do this investigation. We came up with what we thought was a reasonable compromise with the staff, and we have proceeded to install these wells and continue to look at groundwater flow and perchlorate concentrations north and east of the site. We have identified other sources. We have provided that information to staff. We have requested they investigate those sources, which they have been doing. We believe we are not responsible for perchlorate in the Nordstrom well. We believe there are other sources to the north that may lead to those concentrations, especially historical. And I don't want to undermine any other potentially responsible party here, but if you look at the United Technology Corporation site, you're talking about concentration in the billion parts per billion. In a million parts per billion concentrations that are known concentrations on the site in sediment. That facility flows surface water into the Anderson Reservoir. And it was mentioned earlier, that reservoir was pumped into these percolation ponds for numerous years prior to them discontinuing that operation. And I don't remember the actual years, but it was substantial. If you look at that percolation ditch and the ponds on there, you can see where they're located. Now, for years, those have flushed to the south. During this time and since, I think, 87 was the end, or some, is it 87? 1987, they put a different source of water in there, clean water, no perchlorate. So since 1987, those have flushed continuously to the north, to the south. So we have a very difficult time getting perchlorate from our site to that Nordstrom well. Understanding that, And also standing, the wells between us and the Nordstrom well do not show perchlorate. So somehow it's magically going around those wells and ending up in the Nordstrom well. So we have a very difficult time spending $1 million to come to the conclusions we're at now and still have doubts about some of the claims we've made.
Well, I thought the wells, the MP wells, do have perchlorate.
They're just off the site. And there may be some flow to the east at that point that then heads south. We don't dispute that at the moment. We're actually putting in additional wells, additional borings to try to conclude, you know, what is happening in that area. We don't know. And we agreed to do that. So we are investigating potential flow to the east.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be slight north, but we believe then it heads south. We've done some modeling on our site itself looking at groundwater flow, and during certain times of the year we have seen some flow to the north and then it quickly heads back south. So for short periods of time that situation may come into play.
Do you think your site has contributed to the levels at the PZ3 well?
I don't know yet. I honestly can't answer that yet.
Okay. And how about Z1 and Z2?
It's the same situation. That's the reason we're doing this additional investigation, to look at the flow and to look at concentrations. So I can't answer that. I can't say no. I can't stand up here and say that. I believe we will answer that question with what we're doing currently.
Okay.
I'd also like to comment a minute. Excuse me. You have a question? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Just to follow with that. What's your thought on the notion that the pumping at the Nordstrom well could be drawing and accelerating movement north that may not have been occurring before that well was installed?
If you look at the groundwater production for drinking water in this area over time, it's a dramatic increase. That to some degree supports our theory that that's not our perchlorate to the north historically. And there is a change and there is some draw. Now, is the water underneath our site getting back to the Nordstrom well? I can't answer that either. We don't believe it is, because if there was perchlorate in it, you would see it in the other wells in front of it. And the nitrate issue is another major point about the nitrates under our site versus nitrates in other areas. Nitrate and perchlorate travel somewhat together. And if it was our perchlorate, you would see the same concentration of nitrates. That's one of the assumptions that we have made, that we believe is scientifically sound. I'd like to comment also about the Tennant Avenue well. The Tennant Avenue well is directly south of our plant. There is perchlorate in that well. We believe perchlorate from our site is in that well. We approached the city of Morgan Hill back in, my time frame's well off, I think 2002, to put treatment on that well. The city of Morgan Hill did not want to do that. We paid $835,000 to put in a new well, the San Pedro well, for the city. So we believe we have provided an alternative water source for that well. Against our best wishes, which we communicated not only to the city of Morgan Hill, to the regional staff, and to the water district, we did not want that well to come back online. We believe that well is actually drawing perchlorate to a deeper level in that aquifer by operating.
Tennant?
The Tennant Avenue well. And we believe we have the information now to demonstrate that, and will be in our upcoming reports. Not only has it done that historically, made the perchlorate go to a deeper depth, but it's currently doing that. So we would prefer for that well not to run at all currently until we understand exactly what's going on here in the area and what's the appropriate remediation for this particular area. So I hope, you know, I'm talking a lot here, but I'm just trying to give our perception of the world as we see it based upon the information we've generated spending $1 million doing this investigation.
Well, and I think that's helpful for us to know, and I think that what Mr. Shallcross and I were thinking of is kind of the board's maybe frustration with not getting everything vetted out so we can hear it ourselves. I mean, staff knows what's in all the reports and all the data because they go through it constantly. We sit here and we get a different end of the argument, or, you know, the public concern about this, and we'd like to do something about it. Right. We're the ones responsible, ultimately, for protecting beneficial uses. Some of us are somewhat frustrated in how long this is taking. We'd like it to happen sooner than later. And
This has been a very expedited schedule.
Right.
And I think if you look at any orders you've probably given throughout this region or any region in the state of California, this has been a rather expedited investigation. And once again, we've spent over $25 million now to this point providing treatment systems, which we have to the south, on drinking water wells above six, on individual private wells, as well as some small, not municipal, but privately owned community wells. We've installed treatment there. And we're doing the on-site source control. We have a groundwater pump and treat system on the site that controls the water. It doesn't get off the site. We're treating all the soil on the site, which was the original source. All that's currently being done and has been done for some period of time. Some of our frustration has been we are working very fast, generating a lot of documents. In fact, we have proceeded on to do work even without approval of the staff. Because of their workload, they've not been able to approve every document we turn in. So we've had to move on in order to meet these time frames. And we're still, you know, I've got burnout on all my, I got 50 people working on this site currently. And they're burned out. I met with them 2 weeks ago, and they're burned out. And we're trying to generate everything we can here, but it's difficult. And there's a lot of questions yet to be answered. Not all the answers are there yet.
Okay.
Sorry.
Mr. Bricks?
Yes, Mr. Richards, in light of your last comment, I think I know the answer to this question, but you heard the conversation earlier in terms of sort of the critical timing. We're talking about the difficulty with the June 30th report review, getting input from the agencies and the public versus getting an item prepared for, say, a September board meeting. So how are you doing in terms of progress towards completing that report, and is there any chance that the report would be done sooner?
The report will be turned in on June the 30th. In my opinion, the report will be incomplete. And the reason's going to be we are still out in the field installing wells. As we learn new information, we're installing additional wells. As we mentioned, just to the north and east of the facility, based on the new information we had by installing wells, we're doing more investigation. I don't think we'll have a complete answer on June the 30th. We're looking at technologies, which we'll provide. I don't think we'll have an answer if this is what we need to go out and install tomorrow, because I don't think we've determined the full extent and nature of the plume to the south. I answered your question. That was a little bit long-winded. If there's anything else, I'd be happy to answer it.
Well, I think there's a lot of unknowns yet that needs to be explored, but those will eventually come forth, I think, with the report that we're anxiously waiting for in the end of June or first part of July. Be interested in looking at that. And, Mr. Chair, not for this gentleman here, but I just want to clarify with the staff that I think we heard on this end of the table that non-detect is four parts per billion. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that would be?
That's for the City of Morgan Hill municipal supply wells that, except for Nordstrom
water.
Well and Tennant.
Okay. Well, I think what I'm trying to clarify in my mind is then if there's a threshold to clean up, which is historical levels, which would be theoretically zero, whatever zero is, is that going to be four parts per billion?
Well, that's a very valid point, and that's why we've asked for the City of Morgan Hill to provide us with concentration data, trace concentration data for all the municipal supply wells, and they haven't been able to provide that to date. Because if it is less than four, then we need to know that.
How are we going to determine what the historical levels were?
What the historical
for
levels were
for
chlorate in the Yaga sub-basin? The
yes.
Forensic chemistry study is, a lot of people are hoping that will shed light on what the background concentration of perchlorate is in the Yaga sub-basin.
Will that be able also to date that chemical? The point where I'm trying to go with this is if the board has to establish a cleanup level somewhere in time, whatever that number is, how do we determine what the historical level was 50 years ago.
Generally, for chemical constituents, it's non-detect, and there may be some legacy background. And I think one issue here may be that there's multiple sources. And if there's multiple sources, that doesn't change the background level or the cleanup level. It just means there's more people that get to participate.
More responsible parties. But again, I'm trying to clarify this in my mind, is 4 parts per billion, which is considered non-detect for drinking water standards, is that the non-detect for cleanup standards?
No.
No.
The basis is background, and background is assumed to be zero unless the discharger can demonstrate that something higher is the naturally occurring concentration.
All right. I understand, but the way it was presented, maybe just the way I received it.
It's just the way it was presented was that it's non-detected 4 because that is the current analytical method that's being used to report these detections.
Okay. I understand. Thank you.
MDL versus PQL. MDL is the method detection limit of the laboratory, and PQL is the reporting limit.
Okay.
So the MDL is typically around 1.2 ppb, and then the reporting limit where there is 4.
Well, remember that because I may have to go through this again.
That's fine. It's in my head.
Okay. Thank you very much. I guess we just have to wait for this report to come in and for staff's analysis of it, and hopefully we'll continue this discussion in September, if we're lucky. And maybe if staff could have some kind of report on their look at these other sources, as I mentioned, that would be helpful too. Dr. Hunter.
One question regarding the replacement water. That was something that we heard at the February meeting, and I'm curious, is there anything, what's the latest development on that? They have one more quarter that they have to demonstrate that they've met the state board time frame?
To meet the state board time frame, it's 4 prospective quarters. That began beginning May 19th, 2005. So after May 19th, 2005, if they have 4 quarters of monitoring, Olin can request that we cease providing replacement water for those wells that are below 6.
So will we hear that report in June?
Well, we haven't
July?
We haven't heard anything or received any formal request from Olin, but I would anticipate, and I don't want to speak for Olin, but after the 4 prospective quarters of monitoring, we expect that a request will be submitted.
And will that come to this board, or will that be staff action?
Well, that will,
I can answer
according
that.
To the state board.
That will be staff action. Basically, the board doesn't have any authority to deny those requests unless there's some other data showing that there's 6 parts per billion or above, or at least some evidence that it may be 6 parts per billion or above. But the state board order was really clear that without anything else, 4 quarters of monitoring was enough to entitle Olin to stop that replacement water source.
And what is there any, what's the sense coming from the perchlorate group? Isn't that made up of residents of Morgan Hill? Are they tracking on the May 19th date, and have they voiced any requests or concerns, or what's their role in this?
They are very concerned. The sense we get is that they're very concerned about those levels. They're concerned about rebounds of concentrations. We're currently seeing a declining trend in concentrations as you go further south from the site. They're concerned as well as we are that those declining trends may not be permanent. So I believe, and we've assured them that the key to ensuring that we know exactly what's going on is to implement a conservative monitoring program, which is one of our additional tasks that we aim to do in the next few months.
And Olin is responsible for that ongoing monitoring, or is that?
Well, they would be. We have an existing monitoring reporting program, but one of the things that we've been working on, and Olin has actually proposed some changes to that program, is updating that so that we can monitor the plume adequately or as best we can. Mm-hmm. With these, any proposed changes coming up with ceasing providing replacement water, you know, that'll impact how the monitoring network is functions. So we want to look at that before we propose any significant changes to those monitoring requirements.
And does the water district have any role in remedying the concerns of those that are currently receiving alternative water supply? Is there any plan B for anybody else to come forward to help with the resolving their concerns if they find that Olin is no longer going to be supplying water?
We haven't heard any of that thus far. In fact, in the last couple of months, the water district's involvement in the PCAG group, or the public group, has been reduced. Mm-hmm. They have not been submitting as many comments as they used to. So they indicated to us that they're minimizing their involvement as much as possible. They feel that we have adequate control of the situation, and they don't see a need for having more involvement than they currently have. So, hopefully, if there's significant concern from the public, that they'll do a little bit more. Not that they're not doing enough. I
mean, sure,
I think
sure.
They're doing a good job.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Should we take a break before we complete this agenda item? So we'll take a break for about 10 minutes or so.